This is December the 17th, 1995. We're gathered for a business session, and the commander's asked me, EJ, to start off by reading today's writing. So I'll get the microphone and get started. From Sunday, December 17th, 1995. Quality, truth, and honesty. How and when can you demand excellence, quality, and truth? Always. What do I mean here? I mean that there is never a time, unless there is discounting of a product for lesser value, or you purchase as is, or whatever might be a reason that a price or expectation might be lesser, and if that reason, the purchase price is lesser, if for that reason, the purchase price is lesser. At the least, if there is a flaw or expectation of lesser than perfect value, you are the one receiving that must speak out. How can I example? In pondering the past couple of days, let me see if I can find some little thing that might qualify as a focus. Ah, yes. On the yesterday, a lovely appearing floral arrangement arrived for Dharma and EJ. This came from friends who live a great distance, Bill and Germaine. Every arrangement ever sent from them has been exceptionally beautiful, and last year's pink, yes, a distinctively different poinsettia, lived and remained beautiful for almost the full year. It had special twigs with a tiny cardinal or two, a lovely bow with pine cones and sparkles. It was strikingly beautiful. Yesterday came the same ordered arrangement, only guess what? There were a couple of poinsettia plants of great beauty with greens and a little bow tucked away behind some foliage, also stuck in the basket with no visible way to water. On the surface, the arrangement was beautiful, and certainly there could be no big scene made about it. But this morning came the shocker. Part of the flowers were totally wilted and dead, and the ribbon had fallen off, having been tucked, not affixed to an appropriate pinning, into the pot almost as a second thought to hide a blank space in the floral balance. Florists know poinsettias cannot be used for cut flowers, but lo and behold, in the empty spaces were tucked obviously cut stems of poinsettias. Without the fullness of the now wilted blossoms, the arrangement is not worthy of the cost to the sender. So now we have the problem. What might be the solution? Dharma has an obligation to call herself or ask another to bring this to the attention of the florist who had the arrangement delivered. The people who ordered the arrangement have no way to know that the people using the lesser product know that this is not acceptable, so it becomes a duty of the receiver to attend the matter or at least find out what or why this happened. Certainly an artificial blossom or two could solve the problem, but did the sender of the gift desire an artificial arrangement, or pay for and expect a beautiful arrangement of live plants to last through the holidays? If this were an intended artificial arrangement and a blossom fell, you could tuck it in with a touch of glue and perfect the appearance again. This cannot be repaired, for it was deliberately set up to deceive, as you can see the cut on the stem of wilted plant. No, it is not acceptable, and it is the receiver's responsibility in this circumstance to make sure the florist fixes the flowers. A call on Monday should do it, for no business person wants this kind of thing happening, or they should tell a customer any circumstances which may have caused employees to take such shortcuts, for there are many this time of year in the hustle and bustle of party arrangements for an evening of needed decorations. This is not the circumstance here, and to leave this unattended is not worthy to the ones sending the gift. This is shoddy carelessness and cover-up, and is not acceptable business. This is not a serious matter, but we needed an example, and this is an excellent and available example. What happens next in these instances is that people stop going to that florist, and perchance the owner of the shop never knows why. This can be corrected, but when a surgeon removes the wrong foot, as recently was shown in the news, and had to then amputate the correct gangrenous foot, the man was left with no feet. Could you, for instance, have known that George Green would take $350,000 in cash and hide it? Yes, for all the signs of sleight-of-hand dealings were on everything the man and his wife touched. When the floral arrangement is delivered, and you are told these are beautiful flowers, only they are the new invisible hybrid flowers, for goodness sakes, can't you giving people stop the nonsense and see the empty basket? The basket itself might well be a worthy offering, but not if someone has paid for and ordered the basket filled with something which the dealer has promised but not supplied. Yes, indeed. I feel even more strongly about those who sell you colloidal silver with lemon yellow food-colored water, or Casio watches of the cheapest variety with a Tesla label affixed, so you think you're getting a frequency item. This is fraud. Of course, one is worse than the other for the receiver. The provider knew exactly what kind of cheap rip-off he was providing to the person suckered. When you allow yourself to be a party to any cover-up of a shoddy product, you become as guilty as the perpetrator. When you steal from another, you are offering a shoddy product, and lies will not change it. It doesn't matter about a flower or two, except that someone deliberately used the wrong materials, and this ruins the florist's business if allowed to go unreported. If a colloid of silver has no colloid particulate of silver, it is worse than useless. It is downright criminal in intent. Moreover, if someone takes, without permission, anything, it is criminal intent, no matter what the needs assumed might be. If you need food, then ask for food. Do not steal another's property and sell it for your own gain. When you take something and then cause another to appear to be the culprit, the wrong is compounded. Some people are spending this holiday season in great sorrow because they got caught in their nasty little secret games, and they pout and shout about how mistreated they are. No, good friends, do not listen to the whining and crying, for responsibility must come back to the perpetrators, lest you lose all balance and morality in your world. This is the same for a president who has lied and thieved and cheated his way through his office to one who has taken the secret candy bar from the checkout counter of the discount store. If a man will steal a candy bar belonging to another, he is quite capable of stealing a tractor. People say to Dharma, quote, "Ask Commander to give us a quick pickup and spiritual catch-all for the holidays, please." She becomes bewildered when I then bring you this type of lesson, but this is the lesson you must learn, not the pious lies about flying visible angels and magic toys appearing. When, by the way, the magically appearing toys are considered, the magic is usually a theft of some kind, even if no more than in the heart. I take no merit in an unfortunate childhood where mommy and daddy were too strict, or whatever the garbage usually is, when you are grown and continue to blame anything else for your actions. You need help with your soul. If you are having a bad time answering for your indiscretions, so be it, for you have earned it. Justly. Believe me, the ones who are cleared of blame wrongfully placed on them must recognize the relief and joy of having truth prevail, and the responsible parties to the crime recognized. Even if repayment is not forthcoming, for a man only has his good name and reputation, or his bad one. When are you grateful? All of us have reasons to be grateful. The word usually means that we have received something. Often the thought of gratitude is that warm feeling you get when someone is generous and sharing. We are particularly grateful when we get unexpected gifts from those who owe us nothing. Within a family, we expect such acts of love because we are close to one another, especially at the holiday season of exchange and gifting. But gratitude must not come from just being a receiver. Gratitude is warmest when it accompanies the joy of being able to give without expectation of anything in return. We then find it isn't ever enough to simply feel grateful. We have a need to then express our gratitude by showing kindness and service to everyone around us. Gratitude is the greatest of all heart openers. When it enters the heart, love pours out. For every kindness we receive, gratitude inspires 100 acts of giving. Our problem then becomes one of limitation and balance, as we then try to express in equal measure and beyond that which is given or expected. And above all things, kind and loving words are the most enduring. Even a gift given in love simply reminds the receiver of the kindness of the other's heart each time it is seen or used. You must not, however, be only grateful for the joy, for we have no right to ask, when sorrow comes, why did this happen to me, unless we ask the same question for every joy that comes our way. Please note that in every instance, God sends joy even in creation. Man sins and projects sorrow from his dealings and use of creation. Dear ones, the price of dishonesty is self-destruction, and each must be allowed his own path. When you see a wrong being committed by one against another, you have obligation to attend it. And when, as the old wise saying goes, quote, when with grief you see your brother stray, or in a night of error lose his way, direct his wandering and restore the day. Leave to avenging heaven his stubborn will, for, oh, remember, he is your brother still. However, after offering the way to right a wrong and you are spat upon, for goodness sakes, get the heck out of the line of the spittle and stop the wishing that it were different. You must deal responsibly with what is, not what you wish would be. When you have no seed for the planting, because a thief stole your seed grain, it is wrong to require no accounting. If it be your only empty belly, then you can make other decisions. But when it is not just yours which is taken, you have obligation to attend with justice the circumstance and the thief. The next ones in line to receive no grain for their tummy should be the ones who help to cover for and assist the thief. When you learn that, when one chooses to damage another, he damages all, we may become worthy of trust from God. Because of this very attitude, the world is all but lost. National budgets and nasty politicians. Again today you have a government in chaos. And who are the ones being hurt? Right, you the citizens. No politicians go without salary. No interest goes unpaid. Only their direct services to you, the citizens, are shut down for show and tell. This time they didn't dare cut the welfare lest they be tarred, feathered, and railed out of Washington. What a bunch of silly children you citizens are considered to be. I guess, since the game works, then you may well fit that assumption. But don't you see, citizens, that this budget thing and all these games and wars are coming at your most vulnerable time? Can't you see the handwriting scratching across your walls and across the sky? The elite control mongers are not hurt through these little deeds. You are. We are told that Washington, D.C. is a quiver over the filings of the Ron Jackson Six with the U.S. Supreme Court. No, the filing didn't even make it past the junior clerk, who sent it back with a very reasonable notation that the action was inappropriate as to jurisdiction. Constitutionally, the clerk is correct. Do you actually think the government thugs are stupid? No, they are shrewd, cunning, and out to take the world and all justice from any judicial system. Complaints are made to me for suggesting that simply grammar errors are noted. Well, they are noted, and crackpot classifications are handed down about the error makers. I have not said it is right. I have only said it is so. I can tell you right here and now that there is no one anywhere who wishes more than Mr. Jackson would get his job done, that Mr. Jackson would get his job done, than myself. People are being hurt all over the map because of his failure of keeping one's promises and words of commitment. If he could, however, do so, don't we all think that he would, if for nothing more than saving face? We each look only at our problem and fail to realize that the problems of one are the problems of all. Further, as one deceives any one of another, the whole is deceived. If I tell you truth, friend, does that make me less your friend? If your lamp is empty, as go some of the tales of miracles, and you find a jug of stored oil of which you knew nothing, and you fill your lamp, is it less a miracle than to have lamps burning on nothing? Ah, take care in your answer, for one is a mysterious miracle while the other is a mystical miracle and will be a lie conjured to look like an act of God in miracleism. I would remind you, however, even about the lamp. If you have no flame or wick, you have no light. You must come to know that if you want light from a lamp, you must have a container which is capable of holding fuel, a wick to draw the fuel, and above all things a flame to ignite the gas given off by the fuel from the wick. When any of these things are not present, you have no light from that lamp. And that, dear ones, is simplified physics. How many of you go forth and say God will provide, while you ignore all return to God? No, what you mean is that someone will provide who has care enough to do so for my needs. So you will find provisions, say, from a government, will simply enslave you, while you assume God is on the trail of your wants for nothing in return. Nope, doesn't work that way. God returns with interest that which you offer him in input. God recognizes your actions as reflections of your intent. If you, for instance, have the most elaborate Christmas lights on your property, does it make you greater in Christmas truth than the neighbor with few? No, it means you have more Christmas lights. Nothing more and nothing less. Your personal reasons for having more may well tell a great depth of information about you. And if you have a lot because you enjoy it, it is wondrous indeed. Check out your reasons for doing what you do, and you will gain great and wise understanding. The same thing holds true with hopping about to visit those you never visit otherwise, simply because you are in or on holiday. Perhaps they would as soon you not consider yourself so important as to consider you other than as a pain in the proverbial extra bedroom. Friendship, visits, and visual beauty are to be shared equally, or the results are not what you might believe when only thinking of self. Is a drop-in guest as welcome when you are trying to get off to work or on your own visitation as when you have nothing else planned? Consider this, for it certainly does make a difference. Do you use visitation as an excuse or a handy reference and cheap overnight? Do you notice how many more family and friend visitors you get if you live next door to Disneyland versus out in the middle of a remote field where the wind blows incessantly? Now sit for a moment and consider your own actions. Do you do things because you think someone else will think something about your doing or not doing, or because you know that what you do is appropriate and worthy of your time and attention? How about the accepting of commitments which later end up on someone else's plate and you go do your own thing? How many husbands invite guests and simply cause a wife to have to attend the visitors while the husband and inviter goes about his business, when the wife has her own, now plus his, things to attend? Every action must be considered every one. How hard is it for you to simply say no thank you? It is important to our mission that you answer this question, for our job is 24 hours a day, 360 days a year, without consideration of holidays or weekends. Do you cause untold problems through your inability to accept this truth? Some have agreed to do no more than go visit everybody. My crew agreed to not do that.
No, I didn't miss the other 5 days. Those are sick leave.
Oh. Is this too much to ask or give? The answer is important. Do you do a thing because you really want to, or just because it is ritual and tradition? This becomes even more important. Ah, but you may say, I must go somewhere to meet a business colleague, a mate, or you name it. Would it not be better to meet, especially a mate, doing what it is you do? In that way, you recognize mutual truth and interests, and are not left to later find you have nothing in common upon which to build a business or love relationship. Do you see that each instance and or thing is received or given according to your perception? Am I reprimanding or pinching toes? I hope not, but the facts are that you are only the center of your interests of interest. When your points of interest, when you demand to be the point of everyone else's point of interest, you err greatly. This action and perception becomes egotistical, and ego-based demands upon others and their ego demands. Until you can assume responsibility and consideration at all times of another's rights and focus, you aren't going to get on too well, for the self-centeredness will soon bore and tire the other. But now I ask you, if you do not receive balanced return from your input into another, how long can you function in proper blossom? Should you? Of course not, for it destroys, ultimately, you, the other, and all who must interface with you. Man likes to consider this a complicated state of affairs. No, it is simple as the most basic ego, id, growth or lack of it. Your inner knowing will tell you quite clearly exactly what you think about things. Whether or not you act on that knowing is your business, but you know when a thing or relationship is not quite right for all inclusive. Love is blind? No. Love can be most foolish in one's need to have another, but the image is rarely factual in fundamental truth. Love is allowing and can, as with God, be absolute. But it places more conditions upon self than all other emotions and activities. Usually the requirements then are shoved off onto another to meet your own perceptions and needs, and through it all God allows you to blunder, hurt self and others, and never changes his conditions or his absolute giving in his love. Some will say in great self-wisdom that God created the adversary, and that means that God also created evil. So, this being so, what do you think you should do with evil? I would suggest that you use it for the lessons you can learn and the growth which is presented through the correct and wise use of the circumstances which present evil actions into and within wise use of the and within self and your circle of experience. You most certainly can be with an evil man without becoming the evil man. These are the fundamental lessons of truth and journey. When you see error in your own actions against another, it behooves you to get right rapidly with rectification of the error, lest the one you injured move to return the favor. For when the actions include many, action must be taken, and if it be against you, so be it. Now let us take up confusion for just a minute. You usually are not confused, actually, but rather are failing to see facts while getting opinions from every Tom, Dick, and Harry around you. You know truth and you know what is right and wrong, and a big talk game is exactly that. A cop-out for extending the time of choosing for self and measuring the personal gains from either side. A confusing circumstance can only be confused if you fail to get answers, even if you don't like the truth of the facts as presented in the answer. If a man's actions are wrong, he has invited the judgment upon himself for those actions. Unless you condone such dishonesty, why would you continue to defend and be the fool? God expects you to stand forth as a pillar of truth, not a wishy-washy fool of the con man's game. And yes, it is easy. For the soul knows truth and will not abide long with the side of evil wrongdoers. If you do not wish to be counted with the devil's band, then it is better to be away from within that band. This does not mean that you have to toss grenades at the devil or his band, but neither do you accuse your brother who has taken a righteous stand against the wrongdoer because you have no backbone. One's further in responsible positions have to make choices and act on them. You may well consider that you don't have to do so, and so you drift. If so, you have made a serious error in your decision, for you have made a choice after all. Will you look back over your actions and strangely... No, I'll start again. You will look back over your actions and strangely... You will find that the times you acted in truth, justice, and love are the outstanding moments of your life. When you take a stand for the rightness of an individual when others are putting him down unrighteously, you know within that you did the right thing. And there is nothing which surpasses the right thing when you could have just done nothing and saved further confrontations. With each revelation, you must be prepared, however, to confront whatever might come from the truth in presentation. Just as when the lamp is finally lighted in a dark room, the bugs and roaches run from the shadows, but you know they're there, and all the lying about it will not make it otherwise. In other words, readers and friends, you must be prepared for the shining of the light, for it reveals all the hidden places of all the secret evils taking place in your physical expression. But the very learning prepares you for beyond the physical, when you will find that only truth is acceptable. In my opinion, about the worst deed of man is when he thieves, cheats, or lies, and then casts the blame upon another. This is the lowest action of the base ego of human man. Pity the man who acts thusly and have compassion for those who must endure with him until they wait too long and choose his ways as their own and then turn away from them as well. For they have made their choice to the adversary and cover up. I give little of either to such choices, for God always gives the alternative of truth, or at the least a return to truth. If a man acts in error of informed knowledge, he can correct his course through informed learning. When he chooses to prolong or continue in the wrong path deliberately, he has chosen his consequences as well. I believe that this is enough, and if you choose to do so, we can devote part of our meeting today to this topic, which, surely enough, does of its own volition become the focus of this particular holiday season. Right or wrong, stand alone as opposing emotions and actions, and you must confront which you choose to accept or create. May you always be willing to walk and think in the light of truth, lest you be confused into a wrong passage. Salut and blessings rest upon the beings of the righteous, for the unrighteous must require their own confrontation and contradictions.
Any rebuttals? We always go through this when I choose to respond. Could we have a Christmas message? Could we have an Easter message? What should be the great message for today, friend? Christmas is a time of usurpation of that which is holy into that which is unholy. Now, am I going to pick on the Jews, the Khazarians, the Talmudists, the Mohammedans, Buddhists? No. Giving and Christ are a state of being. And why would I want any of you during a holiday season to not participate in the fun and the joy of the game? I don't want you to deprive yourselves or your families of the beauty and the wonder of the spirit of a season where people can appreciate each other, gift to each other, enjoy each other, open the homes. There's little enough of it. Why would we want to withdraw from it? Just know what you're doing. Don't lie to yourself. Honor the thought, but let me tell you something about the thought. It's not built around the Christ. It's not built around Jesus. This man, Emmanuel, was born on the 8th of August. That means that something's wrong, isn't it? And he was born in a land where you would certainly not have snow in August. Does that lessen the thought of the beauty of responding to this energy known as a Christed good energy? Of course not. But you will note that just exactly like the time of Easter, these are non-Christian holidays long established, before there was such a thing as a Jesus Christ. So you, if you be Christian, and I am Christian, I make no bones about it. I make no apologies for it. Christ meaning as close to the perfection of God as you can crawl. It doesn't mean I'm Christ. It doesn't mean I'm God. It means I'm trying. And I honor and respect both the memory and the presence of the ideal being It doesn't mean I put down your holidays. If you want to go and build your altar at the foot of the Christmas tree, that is your business. Certainly, you should enjoy the beauty and the gaudiness and all the fun and trinkets that go with a Christmas tree. It's the season. Why should you be left out and leave out your children in a joyous celebration of any kind? As long as you're not murdering, thieving, cheating, stealing, and lying. And there are honorable games to play with your children. Just make sure they understand, as they're capable of understanding, the meaning. The meaning. And allow some of those things to be scattered out through the year so that they do not think they are getting a whirlwind bundle of something for their good behavior when they know they have to live with that they're not all that good. Is there something wrong with mommy and daddy saying, we love you enough to do this? In spite of anything you might have done. We love you because we love you, and we want to give you these things because we want you to enjoy them. Not because some fat little man in a red suit comes by and mysteriously dumps them down your chimney. That causes the child to have to worry about the very act of Santa burning up. Be careful what you say. Make sure that if you're going to tell that story, that you also tell them that you're very careful to put out the fire so that nobody gets hurt. Let them grow up in appreciation for the correct things. There's magic in this world, and it's fun to enjoy it as long as you don't sacrifice yourself and all that you have to the magic. There have been some very good programs on lately, if you really watch them for what they're presenting. Ones take advantage of miracles, and we're going to have a miracle here, and we're going to make a bundle of money off of it. And ones wonder, well, why can't we go forth, and why don't we have just a little bit more, and then we can produce more, and we can make more, and then it'll be an easier journey. Because when you start selling the miracle as a miracle, you've lost the product. Because you are the miracle, and you've given away your power to a thing or an idea. I believe last night on your Touched by an Angel, they gave it away to a feather. We have to be careful. You can appreciate the white buffalo calf without giving away your soul to an animal. Appreciate things for what they mean. Enjoy the season for what it means to you. And then you don't have a problem. Because you do know what's right and wrong, and you know what kind of children you want to raise up. You want to be proud of them. You want them to behave, but you want them to be bright and not little robots. Well, most of the time you would prefer they be little robots because they're easier to manage that way. But they're souled, minded entities, and they must express. And it rarely is going to be in a way that you're going to enjoy while they're experimenting with all your fine things. On the other hand, I think one of the most remarkable things that I've witnessed was a judge who would literally attach the daughter to the mother for a month. You see, it isn't just the child's responsibility then to behave. It requires a mother's willingness to be attached to that child for 1 month. And it's no longer cradled in a womb where it can't do more than annoy you. It's got to be responded to as another human being. And it means that mother's got to behave herself. All the things she hides from and says, do as I tell you, not as I do. It's going to be right in front of the child, isn't it? It gets harder to snitch. I think it's a fine idea. And for that reason, I doubt it'll go very far. Because already, you know, it's being called child abuse. When the child herself says, this is making a difference to me. It is changing me. I am in favor of this. Well, obviously, if mommy and daddy both need to work, then these responsibilities have to be shared. Nonetheless, they are responsibilities. And to me, there is one thing lower than one who will cheat, lie, or steal, and dumps that off on another, and that is to allow this to happen in full view with support of a man's children. Because it becomes obvious that you've lost both the man, the mother, and the children. It's a time of love and giving. And giving is what we do in this room when we exchange these energy forms. You can't measure this. You cannot put a price on it. There are not enough donations in the world to pay for what I feel for you. There just aren't any. And I'm limited as to what I can give in a physical way back to you. Because it has to be appropriate, or you will again be standing in a court trying to explain how this is. And along those lines, I really would like for Gene to share his enthusiasm. It doesn't even matter what the ruling is. It came down. They won one. They won a big one. In honor and integrity, they won. And maybe with this under their belt, others will see that there is an opportunity to possibly at least fight back. I am totally concerned about this situation with George Abbott, who continues every week to file another paper. These charges are mounting up for Leon and Eleanor, and they are incredible in the amount and the audacity. Literally, John is being charged for them to act against him. And it goes on and on and on and on. If ones want to bring a stop to this and want others to respond to their call or their need, then they have to take responsibility enough to make right what they have caused to become wrong. Because here we assume the responsibility and the buck stops here. It's also created here. And it is not right, R-I-G-H-T, to not confront this responsibility and stop it. And we're grateful, we're humbly grateful that Gene's been willing to take on this teaching, this guiding, this getting it through with more mature wisdom than the attorneys which we are allowed with which to deal. But we're making inroads there too. And therefore, we try to help feed this one who is willing to pull away from his law firm in order to be able to cut his price and better represent. I honor that. But I want to tell you something, people. Anybody is in serious trouble trying to outthink Rick Martin. Now, I want every one of you to be able to experience going through Rick's legal work. And from that legal work, Gene will find that he's got all the rest of the cases in point covered with just a few changes. So my feeling is that perhaps EJ should be the next one on a personal proper level with that same guidance, and then possibly leave Dorma's with Brad Ellie so that he gets to know what the problems really are. Anyway, these are things that need to be considered. So let's hear from Gene, please. We're so pleased he's well.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Commander. I'm back. I feel fantastic. I'm looking forward to what I see is going to be a very, very great year. And this victory you talked about, Commander, that follows the last victory with Loretta Perry. I'm going to hold off most of the information about this most recent victory, which just occurred before the Nevada Supreme Court. If you recall, I referred to that possibility last week, and I'm very happy to say that I was able to spend several days with our attorney before the Supreme Court hearing, and for 6 hours he sat with me, and he let me exchange conversations with him, and we practiced, and it paid off to perfection on the next day, because everything we covered, there was only one little question that we hadn't expected and hadn't covered. But what I'm asking everybody, we expect to have a tape, an audio tape, of that meeting, that court appearance, within the next few days. And when that comes, I would like to do a show and tell so you'd have the full effect of that whole half hour with the Supreme Court. And I intend to bring a large blackboard in, show you where the justices sat, and as we play the tape, I'll do a show and tell demonstration, because this was so good, and it's a victory that we all worked for, and I want all of us to enjoy that together. So I won't tell you too much about that.
That's good.
Now, let me tell you about Rick Martin. I think most of you know, I was a judge's clerk for 5 years before I started practicing law, and I practiced law for the better part of 25 years before I was very wrongfully disbarred. And I've often said that 90% of the attorneys are incapable of doing good work, and the other 10% only do good work on occasion. I have critiqued thousands of pleadings, and I believe that there's not one pleading out there that I can't review and correct. Rick Martin has done one of the most fantastic jobs of putting together a pleading that I've ever seen or reviewed in my lifetime. Rick has a tremendous innate ability to do pleadings, and as the commander said, and I mentioned to Rick at the time I reviewed it, I said, Rick, you have created the basis for the next cause of action to be filed by the commander or by anybody else here. That pleading is going to cause a great deal of work on behalf of...